Well, good morning, church, and we're so happy to have you join us this morning. I just want to throw out a little reminder about the church app, the new church app. There's a video online that'll show you how to download that, but it has all the information of all the events and things that are happening during this season at the church here, and it'll all be on your phone. So if you look at that and check that video out, you can download that right onto your phone, and you'll have everything you need to know. There's even a prayer wall on there that is actually quite a neat little thing. If you have something you want to share with the people, you can send that on the app, and we will make sure we pray for you, and we can do it that way as well. I want to talk to you this morning. It's Easter's coming, and it's going to look a little bit different this year, but it's a time of renewal, and the Lent season is a time where, you know, a lot of times people will decide they're going to give up something. Like, I gave up coffee once, and that was brutal, but I did give it up, and I gave it a go. But other people will give up other things that are holding them back, they feel, or that have kind of taken control of them, and that's all good. That's all good stuff, but when we really look at Easter and what that's going to look like, as those things are quite good, and there's nothing wrong with doing that, giving up something for Lent, we sometimes have missed the mark on what actually Easter is about. We've forgotten. And, you know, sometimes with all the chocolate bunnies and with all the Easter eggs, we do tend to miss on what the true meaning is and why it's so important. And so this season is a time of reflection. It's a time of renewal, and it's a time of preparation as we get closer to Easter. Now, we all love the Easter season, and we love it because of church services. We love it because of family dinners. And it's going to look a little bit different this year because of the pandemic and COVID that's going on. But that's okay, because it gives us time to stop and reflect. What a better time, when we have a whole bunch of it and we can't really go out and do anything else, what a better time for us to actually take the moments that we have now and start working on our relationship with God and analyzing where we're at with the Lord and reflecting on our relationship with Him. Now, I think that North American Christianity has a watered-down version of Lent and of Easter. And like I said, with the chocolate bunnies and the Easter eggs and all that, which is all fun and they're all fine and dandy, but we can get kind of lost in there what the full meaning of that season, of this season, is about. And you see, the price that Jesus paid on the cross was massive. And if we don't fully understand why Jesus had to pay that price, this is where we can get confused and we can really miss the meaning of why Jesus died on the cross for us and for the world. And we sometimes forget that. It's very important. And many times in our lives, we view correction, we view discipline as a negative thing. And our culture has defined that as a bad thing. They've defined adversity as a bad thing. For example, in kids' sports, you can't lose a game, everybody wins, everybody's happy, and they go. And then when they get older and they actually lose and they find out that what it feels like to lose, then they're quite upset and there's a problem. Well, our culture has defined that as a bad thing. And I think in order for you to be a great winner, you actually have to be a great loser. I know it doesn't sound great, but you do. You have to learn how to lose. And we've talked about that when I was a teenager and a kid all throughout that. They're like, you need to learn how to lose well so that when you win well. And so all the lows that come from losing and all the struggles that come from trying to win create a winner that understands what it means to lose and what it means to make mistakes. In our everyday lives and in our spiritual lives, we make mistakes. And the Lent season is about looking at those mistakes. And to ignore mistakes and not learn from them will harm us over time. It'll harm us in our relationships. It'll harm us in relationship with God. It'll stop us from maturing, and it'll stop us from growing as a person in our faith. So now the nation of Israel was a great example of this illustration and of this experience of not understanding how to take direction and how to take correction. God was teaching them on a regular basis how to be a better people, and he was showing them the way. But what happens? Well, when they wanted to go their own way and not in the direction that God wanted them to go, he's like, if you go this way, whatever that may be, here's the consequences of that. And they would choose time and time again to go their own way. And you know what? We are very similar to that. We tend to do the same thing. Israel paid the price for their decisions, and we pay the price for our own decisions as well, whether they're the good decisions or the not so good decisions. So really, what is our biggest problem? What is our biggest issue? Right now, you're trying to think of your biggest issue. You're like, well, you know, there's some financial things I got to worry about. There's some relationships. Maybe there's some family things with your children or with your brothers or your cousins or whoever. Maybe it's your job. Maybe there's someone who got promoted over you. Or maybe that you're in a competition for promotion. Or maybe it's that you need more money in that job and you're thinking about that. Maybe it's you're in school and you're thinking about, what is my future after I get this degree? Where am I going? What's happening? This is my major problem. These are all important problems, and they're important to you. Yes, they are. But I'm here to tell you today that your biggest problem is really you. And now, hang in there for a minute and just stay with me as we go here. But we get inside our head all the time. You know, we're talking to ourselves right now. Every second of every day, you're talking to yourself. And a lot of those times when we're speaking to ourselves, they can be false. They can be false good, and they can be false bad. You can be talking negatively to yourself, and it's not true. And you can be talking positively to yourself, and that's not true as well. It might be a little wrong. You might be off. You might be lying to yourself. So when I say positive, I'm like, you're trying to pump you up. You're saying things are better than they really are when they're actually not better than they really are. Or maybe you're just really down on yourself on a regular basis. And that's not healthy either. We've got these two sides of the spectrum here. Now, we talk ourselves into things, and we talk ourselves out of things. And a lot of times we can rationalize our actions, we can rationalize our behaviors, and we can talk ourselves into thinking something is true because we think it, we feel it, we like it, and we believe it's okay. But I'm here to ask you today, what if it's not okay? What if our mindset is not okay? What if our thoughts and our feelings are not okay? Now, this is where sin comes in. So in order for us to understand what Jesus did on the cross, we really need to understand the problem of sin and why sin is such a big deal. He didn't just come to die on the cross for no reason. He came for sin. And many times our definition of what that means, of what sin really is maybe not 100% accurate. We might have some truth in there, but we don't always have all of the truth. So to keep it really simple and to keep it plain, sin is like an archer trying to hit a target, trying to actually hit that goal. And sin is a failure to hit that goal, to hit the target of what is ahead of us. And what is that goal when it comes to our spiritual life? Well, the goal is to be like Jesus. That's the target, that's the goal. But then we have to say, well, what does it mean to be like Jesus? Because that's a pretty broad statement. Well, it's to be like Jesus. That's great. Oh, yeah, I'll be a good person. But what does it mean to truly be like Jesus? Well, you have to look at it this way. Mankind has been made in the image of God. Humankind. Mankind has been made in the image of God. And if we're made in the image of God, then mankind is a representation of the Creator. If we're made in His image, that's the definition, which in turns means that we are of value. And if we are of value, and we are worthy because we are a reflection of the image of God. Not to say that we are gods, but we are a reflection of His character, of His love, and we are to reflect that out to the rest of the world. Not just you, not just me, but all of mankind. And we've talked about it before, where mankind has kind of dropped the ball. A few weeks ago, we talked about that, how it's our responsibility. God has still given us that responsibility to look over the earth, watch over the earth, as well as everything created that's on it. And that includes mankind. So if sin is missing the target, what is the target? Well, Jesus explains it very clearly, and I kind of mentioned it to you a little bit, that it's to be like Jesus, but Jesus goes into more specific explanation of what that means. And it's this. It's in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, and it goes like this. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So many times we think that our actions are the cause of our sin or of our wrongdoing. And while that is partially true, our actions and our behavior are more symptoms of the fact that we have missed the target. And usually our bad behaviors are directed towards gods and others. So the symptoms, you know, when we have a virus, you might get a runny nose, you might get a headache. Those are the symptoms of something else that is going on. The virus is really the cause of it, but the symptoms are what shows on the outside. And how we treat others and how our relationship with God is exactly that. It shows. How we treat others shows how our relationship with God is. And how we have our relationship with God is exactly that, shows how our relationship with Him is. So many times we think that our actions are the cause of our sin, but it's actually just the symptoms. Although those are bad, sometimes our symptoms are negative, they are not the root cause of our problem. And so from what Jesus said here, we can come to the realization that to sin is a failure to love God and others by not treating them with the honor that they deserve and that they should, because they are the image of God. And this ties directly into the great commandment, which we just talked about, which we just read. And that is why Jesus said loving God and loving your neighbor was so important. Now, let's go back to the Old Testament. You're like, well, you know, yeah, Jesus said that, but there, you know, we got problems. There's things going on in the world, and I'm stressed out or whatever. I behave a certain way. Well, the Ten Commandments we look at as a bunch of rules. And if you talk to most people, they'll be like, oh, the Ten Commandments, you know, don't kill, don't murder, don't do all these things, right? List of rules. Well, if we look at the Ten Commandments, about half of them are sins against God, and the other half are sins against other people. So when you think about it and tie that into the great commandment, where we're to love God and love our neighbor, the Ten Commandments are what that was in the Old Testament, is to love God. Don't do these things against God, and love your neighbor. Don't treat others like this. It's pretty simple. So let me read. So Exodus chapter 20 actually tells us what the Ten Commandments are, and you can compare it to Matthew chapter 22. So what are the Ten Commandments? I'm going to just list them real quickly for you. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make idols. You shall not take the name of the Lord in vain. Remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Honor your father and mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet. Do you see the connection between Matthew 22 and Exodus 20? And the core issues are really selfishness, self-deception, remember we talked about because of our self-talk and what we say to ourselves on a regular basis, and our selfish desires. And all that has to do with self. We are the center of our problem, and it's placing ourselves before God and before others. So, how do we hit the mark, and what do we do to make this happen? Well, we hit the mark by, firstly, building or growing our relationship with God. Building or growing, you know, can use them interchangeably. Simply put, religion is a way for us to express how we feel about a God that's very difficult to see when we're not paying attention, but we can't, there's no tangible something we can hold and say, here he is. That's very difficult. So, but it's not just that, building our relationship with him and having a religious type way of doing things. A lot of times, religion can have a negative connotation to it, but actually it's a practical way of us to express ourselves. But it's not just that. It's also a way for us to make God a part of our everyday lives, our regular day lives, by practicing or working on our relationship with him. You see, just like I need to continually communicate with my wife, Michelle, on a regular basis, so I have to do the same with God. I have to work and communicate on my relationship with God in order for that to grow. Just like with my wife, if I don't communicate with her and build my relationship with her and she doesn't do that, we will drift apart. We will start to, there'll be a division, there'll be a divide that will be difficult if we're not communicating. And that is it's the exact same thing with God. If we don't speak to him, if we don't involve him in our lives and we're not in his word every day, this is what we got, this is what we have. And if we're not praying, if we're not helping others and looking after, then it's going to cause a problem in our relationship with him. And then we're going to start asking the questions, where is he? Where did he go? Why is God allowing this to happen to me? And we're going to have all these problems that really were caused for the fact that we stopped communicating with him. And that's where a lot of marriages fall into some trouble, where the communication stops. Yeah, there's, you know, exceptions to that rule. But in most cases is where communication stops, the divide gets longer and bigger and whatever, and then what do we say? We fell out of love. And that divide has caused the problems for centuries, and it will continue to do that until we understand that no matter what our relationships are, whether it's with people or with God, if we don't build on those relationships, they will slowly drift apart and become just that, no communication. So realizing that we need to work on our relationship with God and we need to continue to grow in our relationship with him. And this is where we practice to love God by having a relationship with him and where we practice loving people by treating them like we would treat ourselves. Again, Ten Commandments and then Matthew 22 when it comes to the great commandment, how we treat God and how we treat others. And many times we think we are treating others well and we're treating them the way we're supposed to. We're treating them like we would treat ourselves. But actually, in some cases, we could actually be lying to ourselves. Remember that self-talk we talked about just a little bit ago? We tell ourselves, yeah, I'm doing this, but it makes me feel good. Well, yeah, it's okay. And that's all right for things that we do when we're doing good things for others to feel good. But we don't do it to feel good. We do it because we love them, we're commanded to, and we do it because we're supposed to, because we're treating them like ourselves. The feelings of happiness and joy and satisfaction of helping someone is a secondary fact to the reason why we reach out and do good to others. And so we do it because we love people, because they are worthy and they are valuable. The second way that we hit the mark that we're trying to hit is that we live our life and faith out practically. Psalms 37, verse 3 says this, "Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness." And in Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 2, it says, "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, to be obedient and to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one and avoid quarreling, to be gentle and to show perfect courtesy towards all people." That particular scripture, I could go a whole bunch of different ways with that, especially right now with all the restrictions and how some Christians are treating government and how they feel that it's their right to gather and all that kind of, I could really go wild with that, but I'm going to save you that today and we're not going to get into it. But the point of all that is be respectful, be loving, show kindness, avoid quarreling, speak evil of no one. I think as Christians, we need to be careful because we can get upset because things are uncomfortable. And really, you know what? We're to do good in these times. We're to do good and reach out to others, and we're to help those that are less fortunate, those that are hurting, those that need food. That is our job to do, to love God and love others as ourselves. And I'll continue to do that, and I'll continue to preach that forever. But Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, I can't take that out of the Bible and set it aside and say, you know what, this doesn't matter. We are to be submissive to rulers and authorities. We are to be obedient. We are to be ready for every good work. We're to speak evil of no one and avoid quarreling, to be gentle and show perfect courtesy towards all people. I can't make this up. This is amazing. Take that with you through the rest of the week. It's going to be amazing. Love God, love your neighbor, and then Titus chapter 3, verses 1 to 2. Boom, it's going to blow your mind. Anyways, live out our life practically. Live out our faith practically. Get out there and do good. You know what? We've got people that are walking in the coldest night of the year. Why on earth would they do that? because they want to help those in need. And they've raised money like crazy to help feed and clothe those that need it, for the homeless and those that are in need. Man, this is amazing, and I'm so proud of our church for raising so much money. I don't have that grand total right now, but they're going to be out there walking in the cold and raising money for such a great cause. Why? Because they're living out their faith practically. Man, there's no better illustration than that right now. And you know, as we speak, people downstairs are working in the lunch program. They're making lunches for kids that don't get a lunch on a regular basis. Could we argue, you know, that, well, if their parents just worked, or if they, you know, had more money, or if they, whatever, there's so many excuses we could make for the reasons why, but it's never a child's fault that they don't have food. And so we're going to be there, and I thank all of our volunteers for stepping up to the plate and for serving and making those lunches for those kids on a regular basis. I'm super proud of you, so thank you so much for doing that. And all of you that support it financially, God bless you. You have no idea what you're doing in the lives of someone, of a little kid. If it wasn't for kids programs and for people praying with me as a kid and providing me with food and helping me, I would never be where I am today. And so you don't know the impact that you are having on others. You may never know until we all get to heaven. But man, thank you so much for doing that in everything that you do. So this verse is telling us that God's people are to trust in Him and live in the land and do good. That's where it says, trust in the Lord and do good in Psalms 37, verse 3, and dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. And so get out there and make a difference. Thank you so much for doing that. Show compassion, show love, show concern, and be genuine. That's all anyone could ever ask you to do. Now, the third way to hit the mark is real simple. It's to be like Jesus. And I say that kind of jokingly, because Jesus it sounds easy, but man, it's hard, because He was perfect. He was the perfect man. He was a perfect God, 100% both. And to be like Him is the goal. It's the mark. How do we do that? Well, again, we talked about it by working on our relationship with God. We talked about it by living out our faith practically, as you do here in this church. It's so great for doing that. But listen to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. It says this: to this you were called, because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you should follow in His steps. Man, I can't say it any better than that. And you know what? This season leading up to Easter, let's make the decision to work on hitting the mark. I don't know if you've ever used a bow and arrow, but in order to hit a mark, it's difficult. It's hard. It takes practice. That's exactly what it is when we are in our devotions, practicing our relationship with God and working our relationship with God out as we live it out by faith, and as we show it by doing good works, and as we pray and care for others and love God. This is how we do it. And so as we move forward throughout Lent, all the way to Good Friday and Easter, this is a time of celebration. Yes, Good Friday was difficult for Jesus, and it was a dark time because He took on the sin of the world. But guess what? He defeated the grave. Let's work towards that goal. And as He rose from the dead and defeated death, we want to remember He did it all for us. He sacrificed His life for us. And if we're to be like Him, those are huge shoes to fill. And so ask God to take you through this next steps of becoming more like Jesus, of working on your relationship with Him. It's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time. But just like that practicing of hitting the mark with a bow and arrow, you keep practicing and keep trying. So when you're out, show compassion, show concern, support a really important ministry that's feeding the poor or helping those in need, or whatever it may be, those reaching out to others. We have so many ministries here in the church, whether it's young adults, youth, kids, seniors, you name it. We got so many things going on that are all vital and important. And as they grow together, they start to reach out into the community and to others. And that's where we really see our faith being that example, where God is saying, get out there and do good to all people. So it's not going to happen overnight, but I promise you, God will make you see and will work into you a new life that is amazing and beyond anything you could ever imagine. Again, baby steps, but let's keep moving forward. Let me pray with you as we close. Father, thank you that we can have such a great example of your Son in Jesus Christ. Help us to put priority in building our relationship with God and with Jesus, and help us to take that into our everyday life as we walk our faith out and work it out in our community and around those that we love and in our relationships. Help us to live out our faith practically by doing good everywhere we go, and help us to be like Jesus. Help us to be that sacrificial, loving person that he gave us an example for. Father, thank you for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you for what you are about to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for joining us this morning. I can't wait to meet with you next week. God bless you. Have a great week and stay safe out there.